renewing our mortgage with the bank, and it's been a long process, and hopefully in the next week or so it's going to be all taken care of for another 5 years. But one of the issues was, well, Pastor, how long are you going to be here? Like the church is built on a man. And it's not. It's built on God.
Amen.
It's built on people working together. And I'm so grateful for the unity and the spirit of working together. If it would not be for that, well, who knows what would happen tomorrow. Glory to God. I'd like to turn your attention to Luke, the 13th chapter. Luke chapter 13 and verse 24. Jesus said, "Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." And then Matthew, the 7th chapter. And verse number 13, Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." One of my greatest problems when I came into the church is that there weren't that many people who were in truth. There were all kinds of Christian organizations and churches that did not believe the way we believed, and it was hard for me to understand that we had truth, they didn't, and as a result, we are on our way to heaven, they are on their way to judgment. That's not being judgmental, that's just saying, I believe the word of God. And so we have to realize few there be that find it. We are part of the few. Many are called, but few are chosen. Like I said this morning, God has visited many, many people, but not everybody responds to his invitation, to his visitation. But thank God, there was something within us that said, yes, God, yes, God. I didn't make a full commitment when I first came into the church. I just thought, well, I'll see what happens. We used to sing a song, "God got a hold of me and just won't let me go." Amen. He got his hooks into me, and I'm so glad he did. Lord, we ask your blessing on your word. God, that you touch it, make it alive, cause it, God, to do something in our lives. Change us as only you can, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I remember my grandmother telling me about her mother and father who came from Germany many years ago. They wanted a new life in America. They heard about America. They took the long boat ride. It was a sacrifice, selling everything and coming over here. That isn't that long ago. And then they went into a place called Ellis Island off of New York. And there they had to be documented, and they had to sign a book, and then they had to be registered as to what are your skills, where are you going to be, has somebody sponsored you to come into this country? And then when they came into the country, they decided, I'm not a German anymore, I'm an American. I'm going to learn the language, I'm going to be a part of the society here. And when my father went to school, half of the day was in German, the other half was in English. But finally, they got to the place where they said, I'm not going to stay with the old language, I'm going to go with the language of this country. The same is true in Australia today. You cannot stay in the country, as Sister Jenkins will testify, unless you learn the language, English, have a job within a year, become a citizen of that country, and abide by the rules, or you'll be deported. Now, it seems like everybody on the news, we're hearing of people at the border trying to enter into the United States. It's probably one of the top news stories over the last several months, maybe even a year. And if you're completely objective, you can understand why they want to come to this country. Amen. Some are feeling and fleeing from oppression and persecution. Some are just looking for an opportunity for a better life and a better future. There are many benefits of living in a Christian nation. We are one of the youngest nations in the world, and yet we are the most powerful nation in the entire world, even though there are other countries that are thousands and thousands of years old, and we're only a few hundred years old. But God has blessed us because of our commitment to Him. The problem is that they are not entering legally. Laws are to protect, not to prohibit, you see. Well, the same is true for the church. Many want to be a part of the church because there are many benefits. There are many blessings to being a part of the church. There are things that happen in a spirit-filled church that aren't happening in denominational churches because they just don't believe that God can heal or perform miracles. But we believe it, and God blesses us as a result. And our God wants as many that want to be a part of the church to come into the church. He doesn't want to put any restrictions on anybody by any kind of culture, creed, color, anything, because He's not a respecter of persons, like the Bible says in Acts the 11th chapter. Now, God also has a restriction on how we get in. We must, according to Jesus, enter in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. None of us snuck in to the church. We didn't do it in the middle of the night. We didn't do it on a weekday. We came right down an aisle. We came up to an altar and we said, God, I want to be a part of the church. What are the restrictions to have citizenship in the real church? Because I want to be blessed. I want all of the benefits that I heard about. Whoa, the country I was in, it wasn't working for me, but there is a church, there's a country that I believe that I can have all of what I want. Yeah. Hallelujah. We all go through the same door. Jesus wrote the immigration policy. In John 3 and 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This is the only way you're going to do it. You're not going to do it any other way. I don't care what everybody else feels. It doesn't matter what your dilemma is. You're not getting in any other way, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. It's single file, folks. Amen. Just because your wife is saved doesn't mean you're saved. It's one at a time, showing your credentials of baptism and Holy Ghost recorded in heaven. If you don't have the credentials, you never get in. And I didn't have to be I didn't have to be the brightest person in the world, but I did have to have a BA. A born-again experience, you know. There are too many Christians that want to enter into church without the proper credentials. And I know in this time, I know pastors who want to get to that place where they want to dumb down the credentials, you know? Come as you are and stay as you are. And God's saying, no, listen, hey, if you don't put on the wedding garments, there's going to be a day we're going to say, hey, you get out of here. Amen. They never received the citizenship of the kingdom of God. And there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be disappointed, but few there be that enter in. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Leviticus, the 20th chapter. Chapter 20 and verse 24. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. So what God is saying, I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. It will be your possession, but you have to be separated from other people in order to be a part.
All right.
You can't be of the old country and have the new country at the same time.
Amen.
Some of the old ways have to stop, and you have to learn some new ways, you see. And then if you go to Numbers, the 13th chapter, and verse number 30, Numbers 13 and 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. So you got 12 spies that go into the promised land. They see it's miraculous. It has all of the benefits, all of what God was saying, flowing with milk and honey, an incredible place. It was Jericho. I was there years ago, and some of the things that we saw in Jericho, it really was a Garden of Eden, if you will. Fruits and vegetables, I've never seen any other place in the world that were in Jericho. And yet 10 spies said, yes, but we are grasshoppers in our own sight, and we cannot take the city as fortified. But Caleb said, hey, listen,
amen,
we're well able to overcome. We're, you know, I don't know. Can I live this life? I don't know. I look at these people and think, oh, my Lord, I have a restricted life like this. Can I really do it? Yes. God says we're more than able in order to live the life, in order to claim the prize, in order to be a citizen of the country that God wants us to become.
Amen.
And then if you'll go to Numbers, the 14th chapter, and verse 22, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. See, I want to go all the way. I want to go all the way. I want to be a part of the land flowing with milk and honey. That's the church, folks.
Amen.
We have things offered to us that others who don't feel the restrictions are important do not have access to. You think about it. I know there are some who want to make it easier for us to become a Christian. They want to go across the borders without the credentials, or separate themselves from other people, and then they're frustrated because they're not getting the benefits that they're supposed to get. This country is somewhat like the promised land. People left other countries to find religious freedom, a place for a new beginning where they would have the right to worship God any way they chose. And you know what? what happened was God created a very difficult time for them to worship, and so they had to find a place, and God directed them to America. Our money has inscribed on it to this day, "In God We Trust," and this must really irritate the atheists because they're carrying around money that says, "In God We Trust." Of course, they want all of the benefits of living in the promised land, but they don't want to acknowledge that God's benefits came from living for God. God led Israel right up to the border of the promised land, and then God told the people to go in and possess it. All they had to do was cross the water, the Jordan River, and occupy the land. There were some visitors in here this morning, and there was one lady who came up front, and she just could not stop crying. Just first time in the church, just could not stop weeping. And in the middle of it, she said, "Pastor, I've just got to hug you." And what she was feeling is she was feeling such a love for God, and the only substitute for God was standing in front of her. She just needed to get a hold of God. She's right at that place where God's saying, "Come on in. Come on. This is for you," you see. All we have to do is cross the Jordan River. Of course, we know that this was a shadow and type of the church. We get to the place where we see all of the benefits of God, the salvation, the blessings, the healing, the peace and joy that comes beyond our capabilities, but we must cross the water of baptism. There was no other way into the promised land except crossing the Jordan River. You couldn't get there any other way. Amen. Hallelujah. They couldn't get around the water any more than we can be saved without the baptism in Jesus' name. Amen. That there was a spirit of fear that came over them. Some people even today would rather stay in bondage and hardship rather than to face the unknown or have to make a commitment to God. They're thinking in their own strength, "I cannot live this life." And there's no sense in even making the commitment, crossing the water. I'm afraid of what is on the other side of the water. And rather than start and go into the unknown, I'll stay in the bondage that I have been living in. There was a time when Paul preached to King Agrippa while he was in prison. And what he did was he told King Agrippa, "Hey, listen, this is what happened to me. You know, I was on the road to Damascus, and you know, I had credentials in order to bring these people who were erratic and Christians in this way, and I had the credentials to bring them into prison, and all of a sudden there was a light from heaven. It struck me down, knocked me off my horse. I heard this voice from heaven. I asked, 'Who is it in?' And the voice said, 'I am Jesus.' It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." Amen. And every time he had an opportunity, he gave his testimony. Every time you have an opportunity, you need to give your unique testimony because no one's got it like you do. Amen. So in Acts, the 26th chapter, if you will, starting in verse number 13, here's Paul saying, "At midday, O king, I saw the way, a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard the voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.' And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for the purpose to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, and unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, and they may that they may receive forgiveness and sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me.
Amen.
Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all of the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophet and Moses did say should come, and Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus, with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thee, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Almost. He almost believed. He almost made it into the promised land. Almost Christians don't enter into the promised land. Only altogether Christians make it into the promised land.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Leviticus 20 and 24 said, I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. And you shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. So God tells his people here, the land is theirs. If you want it, you have to cross the water and be severed from other people in order to possess it. Some things never change, never will change. Not make alliances. See, God is so jealous over us that he's afraid that our alliances and our friendships, I'm not talking about witnessing to people, but when most of our friends are outside the church rather than in the church, they're going to have an influence on us. They're going to convert us, folks. We might think that we're open-minded, but we're not. And God's saying, I'm so afraid that if you don't come out from among them, you're going to be a part of them. Solomon, the wisest man, probably the richest man on the face of the earth, he had everything. He had the brains, he had the bucks. He could do whatever he wanted. But eventually, he married into other nations. And even though he had everything going for him, in the end, he didn't have God.
Right.
Hallelujah. The word possess in the Hebrew means to occupy by driving out the previous tenant. God's saying, hey, listen, if you're going to occupy, you're going to have to drive some things out. So it's not easy to enter in. And once you get into the church, there will be some battles to keep the land.
Yeah. All right.
Every week, there's going to be some battles. because there's going to become some people against us. They're going to tell us it's not necessary. You know, it's amazing. When somebody backslides, the first thing they do is go back to the old people that they spent time with to get reassurance that, oh, you know, you didn't have to do that in the first place. Oh, I feel better. My conscience feeling so much better knowing that there are other people who think exactly the way I do. And so we find that once you come into the church, there's going to be some battles, or we will surrender what God gave us. Abraham Lincoln signed into law the Homestead Act in 1862. The act turned over vast amounts of land to people who wanted to settle in this new land. They came from other countries, and they were desperate in order to settle this country and settle the West that Abraham Lincoln said, listen, I'm going to create an act so you can have as much land as you want and develop it. Years ago when we were in Norway, they have a program there. If you want to go to Norway, because they can't get people to go to Norway, they only get about 3 hours of light in the wintertime, and it's a socialist country. They take 80% of your income, and then you get free health care. Isn't that wonderful? So if you wanted to become a citizen of Norway, you could go there, you could spend an entire year learning the language, and they would give you a salary, they would give you a place to live, they would give you food to eat, all because they want to attract people to come to their country, because you know what? If you don't have people, you don't have anything, folks. And everything that's there is mediocre. I didn't see one great house. Not one great business. Most of the money comes from the North Sea. But what happened in the United States was over 270 million acres were settled under this Homestead Act. Settlers from all walks of life, including newly arrived immigrants, freed slaves, single women, and anyone who wanted to occupy could be a homesteader. Glory to God. They could claim up to 160 acres of their choosing with a total filing fee of $18. There was only one other requirement they had, and it was called prove up. This meant first they had to occupy this property all the time. They had to build a house on the property, and they had to make improvements to the land. And if at the end of 5 years they had two witnesses who would vouch that they occupied, they built a house, and they improved the land, then they were able to take legal possession of the 160 acres that was given to them. At the bottom of the deed was the name of the President of the United States, and the paper was often proudly displayed on her cabin wall as a culmination of hard work and determination. Hallelujah. Some years ago, we went to Jamestown where the first pilgrims landed, and the oldest building in the United States was a little brick church, and on the wall was Acts 2:38. It sounds like a good deal, but you missed it. The Homestead Act was repealed in the year 1998 in Alaska. Up until 1998, you could have 160 acres, but you had to prove it. But if you missed out, God has his own Homestead Act. Isn't that great? Never to be repealed, always offering. Here's the deal. Stake out as much of the promised land as you want. No limitations to 160 acres. Not only will he allow you to have the kingdom of God here, but he will match it with a place that he's prepared for you in heaven. Amen. Even greater than the place you have here. He already made the purchase, but you must enter in order to possess it. Oh, but there is a catch. There's always a catch. Jesus said in John 3 and 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God or the promised land." He owns the kingdom, so he makes the rules. He's the president of the world. Not religion. Not religious leaders. They can't change it. You see, in order to enter into the kingdom, there are prerequisites. But to really possess it, you also must occupy until he comes. Not just visit. Not just come and go.
Amen.
Oh, that was a nice experience. I spent 2 months in a Pentecostal church. I had a really great time. I'm sorry. It doesn't qualify you for possession of the kingdom of God. You have to build a place for yourself in the church body.
Amen.
Not living on somebody else's commitment, but you have to make the commitment. And we must improve the church by our efforts. It's got to be better than when we came.
Amen.
Hallelujah. One day God's saying, okay, what did you do to improve the church? Well, I sat on the pew every Sunday. No, sorry. You don't qualify.
Right.
Not just let somebody else witness, somebody else teach, somebody else work, because when our God comes back, he will look for witnesses that will attest that we made improvements to the body of Christ.
Amen.
It's his Homestead Act. Take a look at Luke, the 19th chapter. Verse 12, he said, "Therefore a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a messenger after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading." One day, God's going to say, what did you do with the gift that I gave you? Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reap that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest thou not my money into the bank, that at my coming I might require mine own for usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one that hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away. But those my enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. So we find that we're in this parable. God has given us certain talents. God has given us certain gifts.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
People use them all the time for teaching, for witnessing, for music. If you have some musical talent and you haven't used it, you need to see me. See Brother Monday. Because you need to use what God has given you. It's an old saying, use it or lose it. You know? Now here's what we have to be aware of. After we cross the water and enter into the kingdom of God, if we don't continue to occupy, to contribute to the work of God, to put down roots in our homestead, we neglect that which God gave us. Then squatters can move in and take which is ours. Brother, whatever his name is. he's from California. Escudero? No.
Frank.
Who?
Frank.
No. See me later, I'll tell you who it is. Maybe I'm not supposed to say it. Arcovio. Brother Arcovio, last time he was here, he bought a home in California and went through the bank. But by the time he got to the home, there were squatters in the home because it had been vacant for some time. And by law, he could not occupy his own home until the squatters decided to leave. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been in the same house for 46 years. I built it myself. I put a lot of myself into that house. And if I came home tonight and there was a bunch of squatters in my house, there'd be a problem, folks. You know? No one's going to take that which I possess. It's like Ziklag and David coming back and all of what he owned was taken, and he went and pursued, overtook, and recovered all. But we find that if we neglect what God has given us, that squatters, well, they can take possession because the property has been abandoned and neglected. I don't want to neglect what God has given me. And the fact of the matter is, if I continue to neglect that which God has given to me, eventually I won't even put up a fight. I'll let someone take it away from me. Then after time, the ownership is lost forever. But the only way a squatter can move in on what is yours is that we don't occupy and value what we have enough to make improvements and fight for it. Our last scripture found in Jude. Verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I really do believe that God sets up skirmishes and battles in order to strengthen us and to cause us to realize how important it was. I remember some years ago I had a business and I was being sued for like $300,000. And I remember standing in my living room and saying to God, and it wasn't my fault, it was a false accusation, God, could I just keep what I have? Now, it wasn't so important to add to what I have. I just wanted to keep what I had. You never realize how important what you have until you're about to lose. You don't know how important good health is until you're about to lose it. Or you don't appreciate your job until maybe it's in jeopardy. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who are before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance. You know what preaching does? It just brings back to remembrance. Amen. These are the important things. Amen. It's important. Acts 2 and 38 should be repeated over and over and over. John 3 and 5 should be repeated over and over. Yes, I know you heard it, but you need to hear it again and again and again, because we have to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto us. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Hey, listen, they were saved. They were delivered. Amen. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of a great day. And even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, and set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. So we find that we are admonished to contend for the faith. Keep it. Amen. Hallelujah. There's only a few things we can take to heaven. Our family is the most important. Besides living for God, there isn't anything that's more important than your family. And you need to contend. Well, Dad, you know, all the other kids are doing it, and, you know, I don't want to feel outcast. You know what? You need to tell them what's important. Got a lot of homework tonight. Well, okay, I'll help you with it, but you need to come to Power Hour. You need to come to youth services, because your education is important, but your spiritual awareness is more important than even your education. Hallelujah. We can't water it down. We can't dumb it down. Because we're closer to the end than when we started. Amen. Hallelujah. All the signs are there. And our God could come at any moment. All the prophecy is fulfilled. And I have to occupy until he comes. And it is my duty to improve and add to what God has already given me. Amen. I want to have some jewels in my crown for saints that are won, not for my benefit, but for the benefit of the kingdom of God. Because one day God's going to say, What have you done with what I've given you? Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Glory to God. Occupy. Drive out the old tenants. There's some old things in me that have to be driven out in order to get all of the inheritance that God has for me. And every time I come to the house of the Lord and I hear the word of God and I feel the Spirit of God, you know, it solidifies the Homestead Act. I belong here. I belong here. I said to my wife when we got back from Cabo San Lucas, I'm making an announcement that everyone has to sell their house and move to Cabo San Lucas. maybe not. Weather is nice, but salvation is better. I know people who have moved because of a job, and there wasn't a church, and it wasn't long that they didn't occupy any longer. Folks, there isn't anything important, anything more important than making sure you're going to occupy, improve, build something. The altar's open, would you come?